welcome to another evening. Welcome to another evening on Chattahvitch Creek. This morning we talked about demons are real. Demons are real. Throughout history we've had a contest, so to speak, in some people's ideas of good against evil. Satan, when he rebelled against God, he failed, he destroyed the earth. No telling how much of the heavens were corrupted by his powers at that time. But God replaced him with us, with Adam. Adam fell too. But through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're all brought back. We're all brought back to God in full fellowship with him through the merits of Jesus Christ. All of this earth will be brought back through the merits of Jesus Christ only. Nothing that we do is able to get us to heaven. Only what Christ did. We're studying the parables of the Bible. In the Old Testament writers, we're studying the book of Zechariah. And the book of Zechariah means God remembers. Jehovah remembers. In the book of Zechariah, the Lord uses many parables, similes, metaphors, allegories, hyperbole sometimes, to bring about truths from God's Word. And that's what we're going to look at now, the parables of Zechariah. So turn to Zechariah. Now Zechariah was sent to Israel to bring about renewal, to bring about the reconstruction of the temple which they had laid down in the temple. Even though God had used Cyrus the Great to bring them back in land, after they got back in land, they forgot God again. Forget Israel, and we forget God so much in our lives, what he means to us. In Zechariah, the third chapter. Now, also, I want you to remember that over 90 times in the book of Zechariah is the term Jehovah Sabaoth used, the Lord of armies. The Lord of armies, he's able to use nations. God is able through his prophets to predict everything that's going to happen on the face of the earth from eternity past through all the way through eternity future. We have glimpses of it from God's word many times through similes, parables, allegories, types, so that we can understand things better. Now, we have Zerubbabel, and we have Joshua, the high priest here. In Zechariah 3 and verse 1, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, or Jehovah himself, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Here we always have Satan. We have Satan in Job, the first chapter. We have Satan in Matthew, the fourth chapter, Matthew, the third chapter. We have him throughout the Bible doing one thing, causing controversy and corruption in God's ways. We have him throughout the history of the world, causing false religions to rise. People are so confused today that they don't know where to go and how to serve the Lord because of all of the mass confusion that is caused by Satan himself. But the Word of God, and the Word of God only, is our rule of faith and practice. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest. Joshua means, it's the same word as Jesus. Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Now here we have Joshua, the high priest, standing before the Lord. And old Satan is there saying, look at this guy. Look how bad he is. Look at Jim Phillips over there. Look how bad he is. And the Lord said, I see only the blood of Jesus. Now let's see what happens. God is going to tell us the story of redemption here. He's going to give us a parable, a type of redemption. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from fire? I remember so long ago reading a story about John and Charles Wesley. Their house caught on fire one time. Now, I don't remember how many kids Mrs. Wesley had, but it was a whole passel of them. Her father was a pastor, or her husband was a pastor, and he wasn't much use around the house at all, period, zero. And the house caught on fire, and he was outside looking and seeing one of his sons up there. I can't remember where Charles or John Wesley, but he was sitting up there in the deal, and he was sitting there and praying. Finally, a neighbor ran in there and ran up and got the kid and brought him down. And his mother, Mrs. Wesley, called that child a brand plucked from the fire. The husband would have stood there and watched the child burn to death. But a neighbor came and helped. Maybe he answered his prayers, I don't know, but the Lord saw to it. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Joshua means Jehovah saves. He had a real good name. Now, we're clothed with our skin, with our filthy rags that we wear every day. We're clothed with the righteousness that God sees in us is totally different than what the world does. Every child of God is a sinner by nature. We are. We're sinners. Now, Joshua's clothed with filthy garments. Each and every one of us has sin in our lives. But the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins. Not that we should go out and do that, but even on the best days, we sin, don't we? Even on our best days, we sin. Now, Joshua's clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." Again he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with festal robes. I will take your filthiness away from you. I will cover your sin, and I'll wash you white as snow. And you'll be whiter than snow." This is a simile, an allegory, a little parable of us too. Not only of Joshua the high priest during this period of time when the rebuilding of the temple, but a type of our lives today. "See, I have taken your iniquity away." John 3:16 says, "So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And again it says, "Happy is the man in whom sin is not imputed to him." Happy is the man. We all ought to say amen, hallelujah, for the salvation which Jesus Christ has wrought for us and by his merits only. "Then I said, let them put on clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, Thus saith Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, the one that's able to place all things in order through space and time. Let men rise and fall. Let nations rise and fall. America that we live in here, it is so good to live in America at this time because we can get out here and preach. I'm preaching on a creek. Nobody's going to stand up there and shoot me, maybe. If I was in Russia, China, North Korea, it wouldn't be easy. It wouldn't be safe for me to do what I'm doing here. Thus saith the Lord of armies, if you will walk in my ways, and if you perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also charge my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. All of those, including the angelic forces. Now listen, Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you. Indeed, they are men who are a symbol. A simile. A parable. A type. An allegory. A metaphor. These teach us something. For behold, I'm going to bring my servant, the branch. Branch, Natzer, in Hebrew, it means a root or a branch. You see this tree behind me right here? It has branches coming up like this. Down, if you could only see in the ground, it would have branches going down there. And this right here, this split, that's a branch. It means to divide. And split, that's a branch. This is a birch tree. There are willow trees over there, birch trees over there, pine trees over there, and even sycamores down there. We see all of these trees and aspens. They all have branches and all have roots. That branch. The Bible says, I will raise up the branch. This is the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because the Bible said he would be born in Bethlehem. He was taken to Egypt because it said, I will call my son out of Egypt, which he did. And then he went back to Nazareth, which means branch. Branch. For behold, I'm going to bring my servant the branch out of dry ground. There was a rabbi school in that area there. Even when Jesus, when he spoke the first time as the Messiah, and proclaimed himself Messiah in the synagogue there in Nazareth, they tried to kill him. Nathanael says, can anything good thing come out of Nazareth? And then the Lord looked at him and he said, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And then he knew that this was a God of glory. The God of glory. He said, truly, 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 thou art the Son of God. The Messiah, the branch. Number 9, and behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua on one stone are 7 eyes. Now 7 means the number of perfection. Let us go back to the book of Numbers quickly. Mike. Numbers, the 20th chapter. Now, everything in the Bible, Jesus is the branch. He's also the stone. He's also the stone which the builders rejected. In 20, it says, well, Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Now we go back, and Moses is out in the wilderness, and there Israel is thirsty. And all they have is bitter waters to drink and very little water. And in verse number 8, it says, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation, and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. Speak to the rock, that it may yield its water. And you shall thus bring forth water from them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and said to them, listen now, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beast drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me. Now he's supposed to do what to the rock? Speak it. Speak to the rock. Before he struck the rock, this time he speaks to the rock. The first time that Moses struck the rock, it was a type of Christ coming and being struck and crucified for our sins. The second time is a type of the second coming of Christ in God of glory. So he wasn't supposed to strike him again. You have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel. To treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel? This rock represented who? Jesus Christ. The rock which the builders rejected. Therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you. Those were the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and they proved themselves holy among them. Now, Moses does not get to bring them into the Holy Land, because he struck the rock, which is the type of Christ in his glory. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus says, you are Peter. Petros means a small pebble. I can pick up a pebble here, and I can get one right off the ground, because I'm right here with all these illustrations, metaphors, parables, and similes, and allegory right here at my hand. fingertips. There's a thorn bush right there. It's called wild roses. But there is a Petros right there. I can throw that Petros. But over there, way over yonder, and right there are rocks that are big. You could build a house on. That's a Petros. Jesus said, "You are Peter, but upon this Petra I shall be building my assembly, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down." Here in this third chapter of the book of Zechariah, we have at least two types, examples, metaphors, similes, allegories, parables of Jesus Christ, using terms that we're all familiar with: a branch, a rock, a big boulder, a stone. "For behold, a stone that I have set before Joshua, one stone are seven eyes." Seven eyes. Jesus is all-knowing. Jesus is all-seeing today. When he was on this earth, he limited himself to a man's perceptive, yet he was God. "Behold, I will engrave on him inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world condemning," because he was already condemned. "Men chose darkness rather than light because they were citizens of darkness." In 1 Peter 2 and 5 and 3 and 18, we have Peter himself saying that ye are lively stones built upon that gigantic foundational rock, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Again, a simile, type, an allegory, metaphor. Metaphor means to carry across. Jesus is our rock. Every time in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the rock of Israel, the rock of Israel, the rock of Israel. And as the rabbis in the Mishnah and the Talmud all commented on about this rock that followed Israel through the wilderness, this rock scooted around, they said, and followed Israel. And Moses struck it and struck it, and water flowed from this rock, which was a type of Messiah. Living waters like these waters here, Chattahoochee Creek. Living waters. Living waters. When they made the lamb stood. Isaiah 53 said he was a lamb taken forth to slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. Psalm 22 said that our iniquity was placed upon his, and he was pierced for our iniquity. Beaten. He was crucified. Every one of those sacrifices typified Christ. I think of one so beautifully. It reminds me of something so beautiful. I love animals. I love doves and things. We have doves at home, and I feed them, and I just love the little rascals and listen to them coo day and night and talk. They would bring two doves for a leper. Leprosy is a type of sin, and a type of what we call incurable sin in our lives. Incurability. The only way a leper could be cleansed from leprosy is if God cured him. Now, in the Old Testament, we have one man cured in the Old Testament, and he told us supposed to go out there and dip in that Jordan River seven times. He said, "I got that clear water over there in Damascus. Why should I go dip in there?" And he said, "Just do what he said." So he did, and he came up clean. In the New Testament, Jesus cleansed many lepers. And every one of those lepers had to go to the synagogue where they were supposed to be a member, because they couldn't go there since it was a leper. They had to stay on the outside. But they would go to that synagogue and say, "Look at me. Jesus healed me. Jesus, Joshua healed me. He healed me." So they let him set aside, and they look him all over and inspect him, and they come back a week later and so on so many times until they had to declare that he was healed of leprosy. Now, he would go forth to the high priest then, or to the priest that is in Jerusalem, and he would go to them, and he would take two turtle doves as an offering. And the priest would go out and get living water like we see here in this creek. It's flowing living water. Stale water or stagnant water is in a cistern. That is living water. He'd get running water from a stream, and he would take it and put it in a pot. And he would take this one dove and pinch its head off and hold it where its life's blood would go into that pot mixed with that living water until it quit moving and the blood quit flowing. He could not totally separate the dove's head from the body. It had to be caught on with skin. He'd take it and lay it aside. That would be offered. Then he would take the dove, the other dove that represents us that are so tainted with leprosy of sin, indelible, written, given to us by our fathers. The blood of our fathers is the one that taints us and infects us with that terrible sin, incurable sin. The priest would take that other dove that was alive, and he would dip him, immerse him in the blood and the water representing Christ, the blood representing Christ, the living water representing Christ. He'd dip him in that, and then he would take him and turn him loose. He'd fly away. Drops of blood coming down and drops of water coming off. Jesus is our living water. He's a water bowl. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our branch out of dry ground. He is that. He is our Savior. For behold the stone that I have set before you, Joshua. On one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave on an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You do not have to work your way to heaven. Jesus paved the way. He paved the way. Paved it with gold. Gold is the type of deity. He paved it with gold. His deity, his love for us. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. We're looking forward now to the time that Israel will go into the land, and Israel will repent of rejecting her Messiah. And the Messiah will save them, and for 1,000 years, God will let them be the administrators of his kingdom, terra firma, epitaskes, upon this earth. And they will glorify him, and he will do this not because of them, but because of the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant that is an unconditional, well, both of them are unconditional covenants. And I will remove their iniquity in that land in one day. They will repent. The whole nation will be born again in one day. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe that your Son came and died for me, and that he is the God of glory. At that moment, at that instant, in that punctiliar point of time, we're born again. In that day, declares Jehovah Sabaoth, every one of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and that will happen. Micah 4:4 stated this. Jesus is my Savior. Is he your Savior? For Jesus to be your Savior, you have to ask him. You have to repent of your sin, and you have to ask him to save your soul. If you have done that, that is your golden key to heaven. Does not just leave us here to do what we want to do. The Lord leaves us here to serve him. Are you serving the Lord today the way you should? Are you glorifying and honoring him in one of God's churches? Oh, I thank God for the Lord, and I thank God for our Lord and our Savior, and I thank God for the churches that have stood for the faith all down through these ages. And they did it because Jesus promised, you are Peter, the little rock, but upon this great I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell cannot wrestle her down. Matthew 28:18-20 says, after you've been scattered out in the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things with their lives, guarding with their lives all things I've given unto you, and lo, I'll be with you unto until the end of the age. We're there nearly at that time. I don't know how close, but the Lord Jesus Christ is guiding us all the way. Let Him be the Lord of your life. Let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your leader. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for the blessings You've given us this day. Thank You for the ability to put these words out over all the world tonight. Help them to touch people's hearts. Help them to learn